on the Davidson Sports Network. The Bob McKillop Show is on the air, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show is brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. Now, here's the voice of Davidson basketball, Jared Letch, joining head coach Bob McKillop.
Welcome inside the Vance Athletic Center on the campus of Davidson College. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Alongside head coach Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Letch. As we hit the air today, as the sports world and beyond is mourning the loss of Kobe Bryant, the NBA legend who died tragically alongside his daughter and seven others in a helicopter crash yesterday. Our thoughts and prayers with all involved there. But in our short time together here this afternoon, Coach, we're going to focus on Davidson basketball, starting with the previous week and looking at last Wednesday against St. Louis. And, Coach, it really felt that that was a continuation of this team looking to turn the corner and really exemplify tough, physical, connected play at both ends in that 71-59 win over a veteran Billikens team.
Well, let me first make a comment about Kobe Bryant. In his life, Kobe was quite a unifying force to all, whether your color, your creed, your nationality, your economic background. He was an incredible unifying force, and he became that for everybody. And the outpouring of grief and sorrow for his tragic death is a clear statement about the impact he had as an iconic figure upon our, not just our country, but our world. So he certainly is someone that will be very, very missed. Jumping into the St. Louis game, an incredibly hard-fought game. Actually, the whole week was incredibly hard-fought. Those that watched us play at Fordham, boy, we stubbed our toe early in that game, and credit Fordham's defense for putting us on our heels. And we're down at halftime, and we came back in the second half. And I think the catalyst for our second-half performance was the ball screen defense that Will Regal adjusted at halftime and led to us getting stops defensively and then getting into the open court and running and converting and getting easy baskets. We had a similar replay on Wednesday night when a terrific St. Louis team came in here. And again, we give credit to our scout, Matt McKillop, on that game, as he had a game plan that was designed to really crowd the paint and prevent them from attacking us with Hassan French and Jordan Goodwin and on the offensive glass. And again, we came out great in that game, started, I think, 6-0. Travis Ford called an early timeout, and despite getting knocked on our heels a couple of times as they fought back to tie the game, we maintained a great sense of consistency throughout. And I think the consistent toughness that we showed was something that has to become a staple of what we do from here on out.
Coach, rebounding was obviously a heavy point of emphasis heading into that game. St. Louis was one of the best teams in the country. The Wildcats finished at +3 on the boards in that game. Can you just put into context what kind of connected effort it took on the part of the Wildcats to come out ahead in the battle for the boards against a team like that?
Well, you look at them and you look at us and you see that we're not going to outjump them. We're not going to outquick them. So we have to do it as a gang of five. And everybody has to play a role on a rebounding situation. And we always say in the post game, we say the camera is on you. You can't avoid the camera. So you miss a box out, that's going to show up in the video in the film room the next day. And that camera doesn't lie. So there is this responsibility, but always the temptation of not realizing that you can have an impact on what happens to that ball because of the funny way the ball bounces. And we saw that on Saturday against George Mason, a third victory in the week. And Kevin Kuick did a sensational job in preparing us for that because of George Mason's outstanding ability to put the ball on the floor at so many positions and drive the basketball and look to either get fouled or create penetration to open up a three-pointer on the arc. And there was one particular play in which Lee, who is experiencing so many new things, and God bless him because he's trying as hard as he can, and he's a terrific kid and a very, very good talent with a high IQ. But he challenges the shot out at the arc, and then he starts heading down court. Well, the rebound came back to exactly where he was, where he should have been. And that's just a process of him repeating and repeating and seeing and seeing and seeing. And I think he's getting that message pretty clearly.
Looking more into that game, it was a 68-53 win, a great crowd here at Belk Arena on Saturday night. And we've talked about it, and he's in the midst of a tremendous locked-in effort over the last six games, and that's John Axel Goodmanson. He did it again with 27 and 10 rebounds.
You know, the glazed look that was in his eye in the Richmond game has disappeared, and amazing what the resurgence of his confidence has done to him and has done to our team. He clearly is the catalyst for our defense and our offense, and he's playing with the kind of joy that he played with throughout last year.
A couple other players, Coach, that are continuing to grow. I know Mike Jones is getting more comfortable on the court. Great shooter, as we knew, as well as Bates Jones. So you got the Joneses both working for you right now.
The Jones boys. And Michael is still carrying around that brace, and I think he's going to be unleashed once he gets rid of that for next year. But you can see him slowly taking steps forward. And the steps forward are his ability to put the ball on the floor and find an open man. He made a couple of great passes on Saturday. That had not been there 6 weeks ago. Putting the ball on the floor once or twice for two dribbles, that was not there 6 weeks ago. And then you saw him make a couple of shot blocks on Wednesday night in the St. Louis game, and then a couple of rebounds yesterday. So he's starting to add some pieces, and I think that he's feeling much more comfortable on the court, having missed the full year. And as far as Bates goes, I mean, he's a quarterback in high school, and the toughness of a football player, and that's what he brings to us. So the first 2 years here, he was a bull in a china shop and would just run around wildly without any purpose. I think he's really grasped what his purpose and role can be for us. And I've challenged him, and I told him about a month ago, I said, we need you to become a 6'8" Rusty Regal. And he's embraced that challenge, and those that know Rusty and what his value was to our team can clearly see that Bates is reflective of that same value, as he has really changed his game and done it in a very good way.
Coach, you talked Saturday after the game about wishing more guys got some more time on the floor. How does that process work in-game? I know a lot of it's situational, but when your goal is going in to spread those minutes, how does that happen?
You know, you go in there with a game plan as to who is going to be replacing whom at what point in the game, and we always have it charted out for the first 5-7 minutes of the game. And then, of course, foul trouble has an impact on that. The way the other team is attacking us, the deficit, the foul situation, the score, there are so many aspects of it that impact the game. Who can match up with whom? So we felt David Christensen is got very good feet and could be a very good defender, and that's why we put him in there at that point in the first half. And he did get three shots at the rim, all aggressive moves. And, I mean, that was thrilling to see that. Obviously, we'd love to see him have finished those, but at least that aggression, there was no hesitancy whatsoever. Nelson, another player of the same caliber, doing different things than David does, and that's probably one of the luxuries we have in the front court, is Nelson and David are so dramatically different, as Luka and Bates are so dramatically different. So all four of those guys who have played significant front court minutes other than Mike have really shown different abilities and capabilities, and we feel comfortable using them whenever the situation calls for it.
Hey, Coach, one last question in this segment before we take this first break. Kellen Grady's defensive effort the other night had 5 points. Something he mentioned to us last week is that he just wants to be more consistent at both ends, so the coaches know exactly what they're going to get. Can you speak to that effort, his lockdown defensive effort against Green?
Well, Javon Green is a sensational player. He had 32 and 39 the week leading up to our game. So he clearly shows the ability to score. And you saw that, how he can get to the rim and how he can also knock down threes. And we challenged Kellen, as I'm sure that Dave Paulson challenged Javon when he had him match up with Kellen. So it was a great heavyweight bout between the two of them. And delighted to see that defense took a precedence over offense for Kellen, and he did not allow a missed shot or a mistake on the offensive end to carry forward into the defensive end, and that's a terrific sign of maturity.
That takes us to our first break. When we come back, we'll visit a few different topics, including cat's care, the use of technology and analytics, and some blasts from the past. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Jared Latch, Bob McKillop, back with you. And Coach, during the CBS Sportsnet broadcast on Saturday, they showcased a feature on the commitment of the program to the local community, specifically the annual Special Olympics clinic that you all conduct. And as part of the Davidson Athletics Cats Care program, how important is it to you and the players to be a part of things like that that support this Davidson community?
Well, that's part of the educational process. That's the part of the parenting process. That's a part of the growing process that our guys must go through. And what we did with the Special Olympics, we've done now for 4 or 5 years. And it's interesting because that has become a highlight for a lot of those young men and young women as they come and they interact with our guys, going through games, going through stations, going through cheers, and their self-esteem is incredibly enhanced by that process. Our guys do a lot of that thing, those things that don't necessarily show up in the news or in the media, whether it's going to a school to read or it's reaching out to a young person that's in trouble or they're serving as a big brother for somebody. It's very, very big part of the experience here at Davidson, and I think they understand this very, very simple process. The two greatest gifts that they have are the gift of time and the gift of love, and they want to share those gifts, and the more opportunities that we give them to share those gifts, the more that's going to become part of their character and personality.
Now that we're in the midst of A-10 play, there's a rhythm to the schedule. Can you give fans some insight into the film study breakdown that occurs from game to game in a group setting? And then I know there are individual settings as well.
Well, we'll take today, for example. We played on Saturday. Game ended 9 o'clock, 8:30 at night. Will Regal broke down of various aspects of the game. Matt McKillop broke down, Josh Heiliger broke down, Brian Sullivan, and Kevin Kuwick, as well as I. Everyone was assigned a certain responsibility. And much of it was charting statistical evidence from the game. So, for instance, Will charts the number of baskets that resulted from a cut or a screen and who had that responsibility in that cut and that screen that led to that basket. So it's cut assists or screen assists. Obviously, you could see the assists on the stat sheet, but you don't get a sense of whether it was a cut that caused that assist to get happen or a screen that caused that assist to happen. The pass, we all know. Kevin Kuwick charts any out-of-bounds plays and any foul line situations, how many points we generate from that. Josh he reviews every shot that goes up and whether there was a box out, a missed box out, an offensive rebound, a defensive rebound, and he charts that very, very carefully. So that happens on Saturday, and what I do is I go through the entire film and I break it down into categories, and I create different categories every game based upon the coming opponent. So what's going to be important for us as we prepare for George Washington, I'll look for the clips that are going to be important for our George Washington game so that we see what we did in this situation and how we can handle it as we move into Wednesday's game. And I'll also do that for individuals as well, where I think that we're great believers in this concept of let's get better, LGB. And we begin practice with that. We sometimes finish practice with that. Then we have film session with that. So I'll give each individual player a variety of clips, which I'll show today after practice. And that'll be something that is part of the entire film session today. Each individual coach is assigned 3 players. So each individual coach then will meet today and tomorrow with the individual and review the game and the clips from that game appropriate just to him. So it's pretty comprehensive.
For sure. And Coach, let's get to a couple of these fan questions here in this segment. This first one says, with With Luka struggling in terms of staying on the court with foul trouble, do you expect Bates and Nelson to get more minutes?
You know, Luka struggled on Saturday, and, you know, he had some difficult calls. And I actually spoke with the director of officials yesterday about one of them. That was his second foul, and it was not what we thought it was. It wasn't a foul on him. But nevertheless, he did struggle yesterday. I think it's been my fault of filling Luka with too much information. I've just oversaturated him with things to do, and he's such a conscientious kid who wants to do everything right. He wants to be told exactly what to do, and then goes out and does it. And when you have so many things in your mind, you can't do anything perfectly. So what we're trying to do is narrow his focus. And many of our fans might remember Detlef Musch. Detlef Musch was our first big guy back in 1989, 1990. Played for me in high school and came here in 4 years. And there's a lot of personality of Detlef Musch with Luka Brajkovic. And it's going to require us to take a page out of coaching Detlef, and that is don't oversaturate him. Be very encouraging, very supportive. He will work hard and stay the course. Now, the question as to Bates and Nelson and even David Christensen, we're going to continue to get them playing time, but we want Luka on the court for 22 to 24 minutes every game.
Next question, Coach. Any comments on John Axel taking the role of really Jack Gibbs, being more active during clock stoppages and such in the huddle? Mixed comments, maybe.
Yeah, well, John does have a propensity to speak with his guttural Icelandic English version of English, and sometimes I can't understand him. And, of course, he's in a very excited mode, so it makes his guttural intonation even more challenging. But he's got great insight, and much like Jack, he knows what's going on out there, and he reads it very well. So we certainly do allow him a lot of freedom on the bench to give some input as to what is going on the court.
That'll take us to another quick break. When we come back, we'll look ahead at the upcoming week as we preview the Wildcats' next opponent, the George Washington Colonials, inside the George E. Smith Center in D.C. as the Bob McKillop Show rolls on, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Davidson College. Jared Latch alongside Bob McKillop, head coach of the Wildcats. Time to look ahead at our next opponent in George Washington, the Colonials at 9-11, 3-4 in the A-10. And, Coach, they're coming off an 85-69 win at home over St. Joe's on Saturday afternoon. First-year head coach and Jamie and Christian. Are there challenges that come with playing a team with a new staff for the first time?
There certainly are, you know, and they have quite a new roster as well. So they've added some players that were not there last year, and they've matured some players that were there last year. I think we must understand that you can't look at comparative scores and say, oh, we beat them, they beat them, and try to draw some kind of conclusion from that, because styles of play are such a factor in every matchup, as well as emotion. The confidence that a team has, either because of the previous outing or because of previous experiences or the lack of confidence, and of course the style of play that might be attacking the paint kind of play like George Mason, a post-up game like they had with St. Louis, a spread-you-out kind of game that Fordham has, offensive flow that Richmond had. Every team is different in our conference, and they all present different challenges. So you can't look at a team and say, oh, well, geez, they lost at Fordham. We won at Fordham. So therefore, you know, well, what about St. Louis? They went to St. Louis and had a five-point game. So this is a team that beat St. Joe's, and we had to take St. Joe's to overtime. There's no comparisons that you can make because of style and confidence.
So offensively, they're led by a veteran redshirt senior, Armel Potter, and a pair of freshmen, Jamison Battle, and we'll know this name, Jameer Nelson Jr., who's coming off a strong 22-point effort. What should we know about the Colonials?
Well, you're going to see them be a one-man fast break with Armel Potter. He is quick as a cat, gets the ball up the court, Jameer Nelson, also very quick. They have superb perimeter shooters in Maceo Jack and freshman Jamison Battle. Their big guys are tough, aggressive, set terrific screens, and really attack the glass. In Arnando Tora, Chase Parr, they're just a team that's going to present challenges for us because of their strength, because of their quickness, and because of their shooting ability.
Based on some of those characteristics in the matchup, do you expect any changes to your rotation or use of the bench?
We haven't decided yet whether we'll start Bates or we'll start Mike Jones, but we anticipate that Lee will come off the bench as our first guard. Might even use Malcolm Winter coming off the bench as well in the backcourt. And, of course, Nelson is going to certainly come in there early, as well as David Christensen. I think what he did the other day has earned him opportunity to get there in the game in the first half.
Paint the picture for us then in terms of overall success, keys to the game.
Clearly stopping what we call stopping the bullet. And that seems to be a consistent pattern for us, that people are going to attack us with the dribble. And this team is going to do it in the open court, and they're going to do it in the half court. They run countless ball screens and are very, very clever about the way they use it, the way they position their players on the court, the way they move their pieces around, so that if you focus on what's going on with the ball screen and you lose sight of your man, you're going to pay a serious price for it.
So, Coach, we won't talk again on this show until next Monday. Big game in the football world. Any thoughts on the Chiefs and 49ers in the Super Bowl?
I haven't given
it. You probably haven't even thought about it, right?
I have not given it a thought. I'm all of our focus is on finishing off the George Mason game with video today and preparing for practice this afternoon and getting ready to play George Washington on Wednesday. You can't get distracted in this position. You get distracted and you're going to be in trouble. It's just like the ball screens for George Washington. You get distracted looking at those ball screens. You're going to get a three-pointer buried on you if you don't pay attention to the entire picture.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time as always.
Thank you, Jared.
That was head coach Bob McKillop. We'll take a quick timeout, come back and wrap this show up. You're listening to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. We want to remind you that you can join us for our next broadcast this Wednesday night, January 29th, 6:45 on the Davidson Radio Network, as the Wildcats travel to George Washington. The Wildcats will then return to Belk Arena on Saturday, February 1st, for an 8 o'clock contest against UMass. Our airtime for the radio broadcast will be 7:45. As for our next coach's show, that's coming up next Monday, February 3rd, and will continue through all out A-10 play. For head coach Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Latch. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for joining us, and so long for now. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield IMG College.
This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show has been brought to you by Bearings, innovative strategies and solutions. Pepsi, born in the Carolinas. Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet. And by Ortho Carolina, you improved. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Davidson Sports Network.